how do you know you're done, or how do you have like the courage to do it again? And it just ultimately comes down to, is it something that you can't stop thinking about?
Hey, we are Shan and Ryan Tripp, parents of five on a journey to discover what it takes to raise great humans while enjoying the heck out of life along the way.
Sometimes it's easy to let the weight of everyday life, parenting, marriage, finances, get in the way. But what we've found is that as you break out of the norm and do life a little bit differently, a whole new world can open up to you.
So if you're ready, we would love to invite you on this journey with us as we pull back the curtains and have a whole lot of fun along the way.
And it's true what they say, life's a trip. This is our story. How will you write yours?
Let's go.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. This is the Life's a Trip podcast. And I'm joined by Shannon.
Are you saying hi to your mom and dad, or hi to all the mom and dads listening?
No, my mom and dad.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning in today. I am extra happy and extra excited to talk about what we're about to today.
I'm happy that Shannon's talking in the correct side of the mic. We did a mic check and she was talking to the wrong side of the mic.
You know what, guys?
Honey.
You know what?
Pregnancy brain.
I'm doing the best I can.
Pregnancy brain.
Speaking of.
What? Did I just seamlessly transition into our topic?
Wow, that's the fastest we've ever done this. The news is out. We are expecting.
Sound the alarm. Get it while it's hot. Shannon's pregnant.
We are expecting our sixth precious little baby, and I could not be more grateful, more excited, more just happy that this is happening for our family. So,
yeah, if you've been living under a rock, or if you're new to the show, or if you just don't care, Shannon is pregnant for the sixth time. How did that happen? How do we find ourselves here? How did we get here?
Well, I think that's kind of what we want to talk about today is, you know, the big old question that every mom asks themselves is, how do you know when you're done having kids? You know, and how do you know if you should have another? Am I too old? Do I have enough capacity? Am I healthy enough? My other kids get enough? It's just all about enough, you know? And I think that's just a message that we want to take some time to talk about today.
It's wild. And I think back to, you know, just being a young man, I still feel like a young buck, but I think back and I never, you know, I grew up, there were four of us, my two sisters, my brother. And I thought, I just thought, oh, that's how many kids I'll, you know, we'll just try to have four.
Isn't that funny? I think a lot of kids do that. You know, You come from a family of three and you're like, oh, I'll probably have three.
Yeah. It's what you know.
Yeah.
It's what you're comfortable with.
Yeah. Well, I came from a family of five.
And that's what I thought we were going to do until you said, let's go for number six. And my joke has been telling people that you just can't keep your hands off me, which is such a lame dad joke. I get maybe one out of 10 times I've said that I get a laugh, like a good laugh, not a courtesy laugh. But it's also kind of true too, a little bit, isn't it?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So
validate me.
Yeah, sweetheart. You and your dad jokes just get me every time.
Do we need to share the story about how you cashed in on a bet with number six? Are we sharing that?
Well, you know, what's funny and interesting all at the same time is we have a trip scheduled to go to Scotland with our family next week. And me and Ryan were just talking about how this baby number six really, you know, came to be, which he loves to embellish stories a little bit and just make it all focused on like one point of the story and just really, really rally around that little teeny tiny detail.
Just a little marketing.
So he likes to tell people it's all because of this bet when really it is a very intentional decision.
Yes, but true.
The funny part of it is a few years ago, or I was pregnant with Bo. So yeah, it was probably a few years ago.
No.
Yeah. Wasn't I?
No. You're misremembering it. It's so this, the year.
Or I had a new baby.
No, honey, the pregnancy brain is strong.
Okay.
Right
what
now.
Was it?
Well, what happened was, what it was, we're sitting in our condo in Puerto Rico, and about 6 weeks away is the 150th Open Championship at St. Andrews in Scotland. And I got a call from a friend who said, "Hey, Ryan, oh my gosh, you know what? You're right.
I am always right. Thank you."
We had just had Bo.
I knew I was either pregnant or had a new baby because I remember thinking that the 14 days was a long time.
Yeah, no, I'm confusing. See, you end up having this many kids and you just can hardly even remember their names. I remember as a kid growing up, my parents would be like, "Robbie, Tiffany, Ryan." And I'm like, "It's me, Ryan. Why couldn't you get it the first time?" And I've done that with our kids. You rattle off like three names and then you finally get it. So, no, you're remembering it correct because we had Bo. He was born in April 2022. Yes. And then I got an invite to go to Scotland to golf for a couple weeks, go to the 150th Open.
15 days to be exact.
Trip of a life. Who's counting? Trip of a lifetime. And I knew it was one of those things where I desperately wanted to go. It was an unbelievable opportunity, but I have this newborn at home.
So he comes
and I
want to
be a good dad. So I go to Shannon just with my lip quivering.
And he says, "Sweetheart,
baby, angel, darling,
I will do anything in the world for you if you let me go to this." And the first thought I had is, "Okay, if I want a sixth baby one day, would you give it to me?"
Yeah.
And he said, "Yes."
I know. That was the deal we made. You're so funny. "Sure, you can go to Scotland, but you have to impregnate me with another child."
All of Bo's pregnancy, this will bring us back to kind of what we're talking about, but all of Bo's pregnancy, I just remember thinking, like trying to close the chapter, you know, five, I knew Ryan was like kind of even, you know, he was like, "Should four be enough? You know, like, are we good at four?" And then we had sweet little Bo and we can't imagine our lives without him. And he was like, "I think five is good. Like, I feel complete." And I just remember in my head being like, "Okay, yep, this is my last pregnancy." I would tell my friends like, "Yep, this is probably the last baby I'm going to have." And I just remember that day that I went into labor, I was just so emotional. I cried so many times just thinking this is the last time I am going to meet my baby. And I just don't feel like in my heart of hearts, like this is my last one, but I'm trying desperately to force this closing of the chapter. And I cried and I cried and then I had him and it was magical. And I cried all the time after he was born because I love the newborn phase so much. It's like heaven to me. And I mean, it comes with its challenges, you know, let me acknowledge those, but it truly is as close to heaven as I have ever felt on earth is having a newborn. And I just love it and appreciate that season so much. And I just remember laying in bed with him, just thinking to myself, this can't be my last one, but how in the world am I ever really going to convince Ryan to agree to another one? You know, I just don't even think it's possible. So with that
but
said, that,
but just to clear the record, to clear my name, I never really have strongly said I'm done. I think that happens in some relationships where one partner says, "No more, not doing it. I'm done. Just don't even bring it up," which I think is a hard thing. Fortunately, I don't think we've ever been, you know, and honestly, I mean, this is Shannon Tripp we're talking about here, folks. You were put on this earth to have babies, to raise kids, to be that inspiration that we all love in the amazing mother that you are. And I've always felt like, you know, I mean, I feel like who would I be to say, "No, we're not having any more kids." I've never felt that way. Now, she's smiling at me. So don't take that. Six is like,
don't take that to number seven.
Don't take that to number seven. I mean, we have a good family that we love in Puerto Rico that have 10 kids. And it was funny. Maybe we've shared this story. We saw them at church one day and they just had their two youngest. And we were like, she was like, "Oh, look at this cute couple." and they look really young for their age. Look at this cute couple. They're two young kids.
I like went out of my way to tell them what a good job they were doing.
You're doing so great with that baby. And she's like, oh yeah, it's my 10th.
I was like, oh yeah, sorry, ma'am. What do you have to tell me? What can I learn from you?
Crazy. So there's no right or wrong number. I don't think I ever had a set number in my head. I don't think you ever did. And we've just taken it one at a time. And if you had said after four, hey, we've had four kids, that's, I'm done, no more, I totally would have honored that. If you would have said that after Beau, after five, I would have felt great about that. When you said, let's go for six, it was kind of like, whew, okay, six is a lot. Like, and especially where we are in Utah, like tons of families with four kids, quite a few families with five kids. I feel like six, you start to get into that territory of like, these people are a little bit crazy.
These parents are kind of psycho. But outside of Utah, you definitely do.
Well, outside of Utah, if you have four, you get the eyes wide open, like, wow, you're
alive. People are like, whoa, those all belong to you guys?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, yes, they do.
Yeah.
How amazing. But going back to that point of, and that was so sweet of what you said, and I have appreciated that so much over the years of you just trusting that, that intuition, you know, that I have had as a mother and just kind of being able to support me in that. But I have had to be extra sensitive and extra, just sensitive to your needs as well, because you are a very involved dad. You know, you're around the house a lot and you're not just going to work from 9 to 5 and then coming home for a couple hours. And then, you know, the kids go to bed and you just see them for 2 hours a day. You're home a lot because we work from home together. And we're just such a team in raising these kids that I just wanted to be very, very, so even though you weren't saying no to me, I kind of knew that you were done and it just had to be a yes from both of us, you know, before we went forward.
Yeah. And I'll just be honest, I can be selfish sometimes. And so, when you just think about adding, and I think that's why we wanted to share this on the podcast today, is because there's so many other families that are listening and so many other couples, and we have family members and friends that, you know, family planning and growing your family, it's just such a huge part of what we do here on earth. It's everything that we do that has meaning. And some couples can't have kids. And some couples have adopted, and some couples have gone through in vitro and that's been successful or hasn't been successful. Some families, like we mentioned, have 10 kids. So this is such a personal, intimate decision. Every family's a little bit different. What we do on this podcast is share our example and try to share our stories and, let you kind of just learn and listen from what we share. But as we've added kids to our family and as our lives have changed over the last 3 or 4 years where we've been working together from home, where we've been traveling. Those are all things that for me, and maybe it's just a more practical thing. I think for you, it's just like, hey, I feel like there's another baby. So in our experience, in my experience, when we talk about having another kid, it's just been, my mind starts to race a little bit thinking about all the different things and how that's going to change our life and what that means. And ultimately what we settle on is, we've been so blessed. We've been so lucky to have these beautiful, healthy kids. And if we have the opportunity and the desire to do that again, whether that's the third time, fourth time, fifth time, sixth time, seventh time, then we should both talk about that and pray about it and do it, but probably end at six. to be continued.
No, that's such a great point. I think every one of our pregnancies has been very intentional. You know, I kind of don't understand the accident thing. I mean, I know it can happen, but,
yeah.
But you're like, well, you know, if you, I don't know, maybe
it is funny.
Yeah, huh? I don't know.
Yes. You pulled the goalie. How did this happen?
You're supposed to
consult with me.
But anyway, I love that you said that because I think that's a question you get all the time is how do you know you're done, or how do you have like the courage to do it again? And it just ultimately comes down to, is it something that you can't stop thinking about? You know, is it something that is on your heart? Is it something that you feel guided to or reminded of again and again and again? And I think that some of us will always want another baby. I'm pretty sure I could have 39 babies and want 40. But I know for sure that there is a completeness to each family unit. And I already feel that with number six, like I've never felt before. And I couldn't be more grateful for that. And so even though I feel this completeness, which I honestly cannot tell you how grateful I am for that, because I never thought I would feel it, but I am feeling it. But I also know that I'll always want another baby, and that's okay. I think you can always want it, but have that completeness too. But that was in my heart, what I yearned for is that like completeness for my family. Mm,
because at the rate we're going, by the time you want another baby, our kids will start having grandkids and then that'll fill that void.
Oh my goodness.
I love what you said though. Oh crap. I just blanked out, but you said if you can't stop thinking about it. And we did a previous podcast about that. If it's on your heart, do it. Yeah. Related to pursuing goals as a family and moving away to an island, right? Which is what we've talked about. So it's almost that same thing. Like, how do you know if you should have another one but yeah, that's been our experience. If we've thought about it after each kid and we've talked about it and it's been on our mind, and that's kind of all we've needed to be like, yeah, let's have another child. And again, you do all the hard work. I think it was Jim Gaffigan that said that the male contribution to creating life is something that we think about 24/7 and takes us about 10 minutes, right? So, and then the woman has to be the one to carry the baby and go through the hard labor process. But
I couldn't do it without you.
Oh, thanks, honey. This last one was interesting. We did the home birth with Bo.
I mean, I've just thoroughly enjoyed every one of my pregnancies and deliveries and the newborn baby phase. It's truly one of the I would say the top six, best times of my life.
So some people would hear that and say, oh, well then you've had easy pregnancies and easy births because you just said you've enjoyed them so much, but I think you should
also,
let's double click on that, Shannon.
Okay. Let's double click.
Let's circle the wagons on
well,
that one.
You know, that's a good point, because I think sometimes you're like, well, it's easy for you or whatever. And, with a ton of gratitude, I will say I am healthy and I am physically, capable and I am mentally strong and all of those things that I have working with me to, I guess, go up against this like challenge of growing a baby. But I've gotten really, really sick in my pregnancies for about 16 to 18 weeks
which is the first trimester.
Yep. And for part those of who the don't second.
Know. Oh, and part of the second.
And that has been a challenge. You've had to pick up some slack. And I also have never had an epidural. And I just do that for my own personal reasons. And so my labors and my deliveries have all been unmedicated, and I have never really understood the pain-free birth. I'm like, I don't really understand how this could be pain-free.
It's been pain-free because you've done the hypnobirthing and you've hypnotized yourself.
Well, that's what some people do.
Yeah. But yeah. Didn't you get into that initially? The hypnobirthing, like,
I love
just
you.
Mentally, your mind is like, I can walk over this fire. I can walk over these shards of glass with my bare feet. I can push a baby out of my body. And it's just like,
it might look like that because I am a very calm and quiet laborer.
Yeah. You're not screaming like you see on the movies.
No, but I'm feeling quite a bit of pain.
Oh, I'm sure. But in my observation, your mind, and you are just one of the most mentally strong, determined people that I've ever met. You're just like, this is the greatest. I am on a mission. This is the greatest thing that I can do. This is the greatest thing that I can do with my body. And so you just go into a mode of, okay, it's game time. It's time to deliver this baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for that, honey. I do think that, when a woman is carrying a baby and delivering a baby, I think it's one of the most natural things that we will ever do. Some people think that it's not. I think it is the most what we're made to do. And so surrendering to that experience and just trusting your body and just keeping your mind, you know, at ease and just having, I always like to make it like a really, you know, the house, it like something smells good and there's worship music playing and it's quiet and
there's a 30 count Chick-fil-A nugget tray on the counter, which is what we had at this last home birth. It's such
a beautiful sacred experience. And so I try to just keep my mind there and meeting a new baby is just, I mean, I don't know how somebody couldn't believe in God, you know, when this like perfect angel comes out and is laid on your chest. And so I find great joy in the whole experience, even though it's very, very, very hard.
Yeah. And we have, you had a friend of yours come that does birth pictures and videos, and she did such a good job. Lexi did an awesome job of this video. And so there's a birth video of Bo, and yeah, we're at home in our bedroom and the kids are there when Bo's finally born and they get to meet their little brother and just like the tears in their eyes and that experience. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty amazing. And I'm just really happy that we get to do it again. So
yep, me too. Number six on the way. By the way, I looked up, I Googled what's the average American family size. And this is interesting. This is lower than I thought. And there's, you know, I'm just kind of looking at the Google results. So don't quote me on this, but a few of these little blogs or different things. Average American family has 1.6 children.
Wow.
So they say America's shrinking. This one says 1.94 children. I think these are whole children that are actually born, but these are averages. Maybe the 0.94 means they're shorter than average. I don't know. this one's a good one. So 14% of families have one child, 28% have two children, 15% of families have three children, 7% have four children, and 5% of families have had five or more.
Wow.
So you're in the 95th percentile of family sizes if you have five or more. So that I feel like that supports what I said earlier, which is like in Utah, there's big families, but it's not very common to have these big families. So we are on the hunt for a new vehicle that will, when the baby's born, accommodate all eight of us just cruising down the road. It's going to make travel a little more interesting. And but we don't want to slow down. We see ourselves continuing to want to travel around and take the kids and see the world and homeschool and do a lot of neat things and have the kids involved. So,
well, I have a question for you.
Fire away.
Cause if you told me you wanted number seven, then I could easily open up I could easily open back up this chapter that I'm closing. Uh-huh. But if, as I was talking about number six, you know, as I mentioned it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and not in an annoying way, but like, hey, have you thought about another one? You know, or hey, look how cute he is. Don't you want another one? You know, like I just say stuff like that probably 100 times.
Look how cute he is, me, or look how cute he is, Bo. Oh.
But what was the moment that you or what led to you being like, you know, I mean, you mentioned a little bit earlier about, you know, you said something about how, like, who am I to, you know, tell her if she feels like she wants this, that she can't. But really, like, what was the moment for you that you thought, okay, let's do this? Because
I was forced against my will.
Stop it.
Forced against my will.
No, that's not true. Forced against my will. We were literally in the car. It was near our anniversary and we were in the car.
Yep.
And he looked at me and he said, honey, if you really want another baby, I'm happy to try. So what got you to say that?
Well, I just felt at peace about it.
Ooh, see, and it's that's
probably
good.
The easy answer. I think I wasn't a hard no. I wasn't. If you hadn't asked me about having another baby in our family, I probably wouldn't have come to you. I know some buddies of mine whose wives are done, but they would wish they had maybe one more kid or one or two more. I feel like it's generally the woman that is interested in making that decision. So yeah, it wasn't on my mind. I wasn't thinking like, oh, let's keep having kids. I think I just felt like we had Bo and it's just like, I don't know. I don't, I don't think about these things as much as you do, which again is like you are here to be a mom and to have families and bless lives with what you share online. And I'm just here to support you. And so when you first brought it up, I was like, oh yeah, we should talk about that. And I thought, well, maybe she'll forget, but then you kept bringing it up. And then I kept remembering, I went on that golf trip to Scotland and I owed it to you. So
maybe that's what you do. You guys, you know, if you're listening and you want another baby, just keep bringing it up, because
just wear them down like a salesperson. It just keeps calling until you give in. No, I felt at peace about it. And again, as I know I've been joking about it, but as I look at the family we've created and the beautiful kids we've had, and they've been healthy, and what we've been blessed to be able to do to bring another beautiful little human into the world that can be a part of our family is amazing. I'm so excited for it. And we feel so lucky that you're pregnant.
Yeah.
I know you don't feel so great. You're kind of coming out of that a little bit.
Yeah.
Right now you're having some better days.
Yep. A little more energy. My not feeling, you know, so sick.
It's hard, man. I'm so glad. I remember being a little kid and my sisters would always get their way. Cause I feel like as parents, you just kind of, the girls always get their way. And I remember thinking like, I wish I was a girl. They get everything. And as I've grown up, I'm like, oh, yeah, so glad I'm a guy.
You know, maybe we'll end with this just thought that I had last week after chatting with a mom in our community. And she wrote in to me and she said, I just want to thank you for sharing your family with the world. I'm currently struggling emotionally with changing my mind and wanting a third kid, which would be challenging for us. And of course, monetarily and practically. But families like yours who focus on love and light and make things work just inspire me. And I said, oh, I love to hear this. Thank you for sharing. Never will there be enough time or enough money, but there will always be enough love. And she wrote back and said, that's just what my therapist said to me today. She said, you may not have this, you may not have this, you may not have this, but if you do have this, you know, what she's talking about, like more love to give. Yep. I think God has a beautiful way of providing if you and your partner think you're just fully at peace about it, or sometimes not even fully at peace about it. We talked at the beginning, worrying about different things like, you know, can I afford this baby? Am I too old for this baby? Am I physically fit enough to carry another baby? And all of these are great questions. Do I have capacity? Am I mentally well enough to have this baby? I remember growing up, there was a lady down the road and she was just like, I looked up to her so much as a mom. She was a fantastic mom to her kids and she had two. And I always just remember asking her like, you are such a great mom. Why don't you have more kids? And she just said, well, because I want to be a great mom to these two. And I just think it's so cool how personal it is for everybody. We're complete with two kids. Some of us are complete with 10 kids. And anywhere in between, that's only between you and your partner and the Lord, and just leaning into that and just being open. I think that's probably the biggest takeaway, is being open and available for those little, you know, those little reminders or hints or guidance that we get sometimes. And then just having that communication open with your partner so that it can be a joint decision. So that when that baby comes, I mean, you're never going to want to give back a baby. You might always regret not having a baby, but once your baby's here, man, there is just some kind of love that happens. And we just feel so blessed and lucky to have had it five times and get to have it again.
And look at that. You saved this mom some money because she can cancel her therapist and just listen to the show and get just information from you on Instagram.
That's right.
No, that's great. And I'll just share that last thought. We talked about this the other day because we've moved around and we've been in different houses. And when we were in Puerto Rico, we were all seven of us in a pretty small little condo, and the kids all, you know, sometimes just crawl in the same bed and they share a room. And when we travel, we don't need some big Airbnb or multiple hotel rooms, right? We'll kind of cram, and the kids are small and they're happy to do that. But you know, you think back to, you know, your dad grew up in pretty humble beginnings and our parents back in the 60s. And it's like, sometimes they had in like a one bedroom house, four or five kids. Yep. and they had a couple pair of clothes and one pair of shoes that they wore out. So it's definitely expensive these days, right? We live in times that are just kind of crazy and expensive and just a lot going on. And so I think it could be easy to talk yourself out of bringing another kid into the world because it's a scary world or it's an expensive world. And so I think what you said is spot on. If you ultimately want to grow your family and you feel like you can love that baby, then that's going to supersede and overcome, you know, those limiting thoughts of, well, you know, we don't have that much money. I probably shouldn't have another kid.
Yeah. Yep. And a big part of it has to do with our faith, of course, but we just believe that the family unit is just above all else, you know, and it's why we're here on earth. And it's one of the greatest blessings that we have to raise great humans
and have a whole heck of a lot of fun along the way. Isn't that in our intro?
Yeah.
This is our story. How will you write yours?
All right, you guys.
What a fun podcast today with you, sweetheart.
I had so much fun.
I'm so excited for you. Congratulations on your pregnancy.
Thank you.
I am pregnant as well. At least it looks that way. And, you know, we are pregnant. We're both pregnant, meaning that we're having a baby.
Where are you going with this?
I don't know.
Like you can't make jokes like that anymore. You could make jokes like that, and now you can't make jokes like that.
Yeah, the pregnant man ruined it for all of us.
Oh.
Now you can't joke about having a belly. Yeah. Okay, well, before the show gets canceled, we should probably sign off. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, you guys.